Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
This is the sixth lesson in a series entitled All About Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the one who sits atop the lives of all those who follow him, all of those who wear his name. Those of us called Christians adore, worship, and revere Jesus Christ above all. He's the one who came from heaven to this earth to set a pattern, to leave footsteps for you and I to follow in, that we might someday be with him in that home after a while called heaven. He has gone to prepare a place for us. John, the 14th chapter, the first three verses talk about that. And we look so forward to that. So we're studying about Jesus Christ because we know that the more we study, the more clear his sacrifice and his life will be in our minds, and the more we'll be successful in following in his footsteps. Before we start our lesson today, I'd like to say a special hello to a friend of mine by the name of Nate. Nate said he listens to this program every Sunday morning, and I certainly appreciate that, and I look forward to the time when Nate comes and visits us at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. No, everybody is welcome here, especially those that are interested in spiritual things. That's what we focus on at Monte Vista. We speak where the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible is silent. We do not address ourselves to the physical needs of man, but the spiritual needs of man, because that is what is most important. So if you're interested in learning what to do to become a Christian, if you're interested in Bible study without the baggage of man-made invention, bring your Bible and come and study with us. Compare what is taught here to that which you read about in the Bible, and see for yourself if the message being sounded forth at the Monte Vista Church of Christ emanates in man or emanates in Scripture. It's an important decision for you to make. It will have effects on your soul eternally. Turn with me in your Bible, if you have it handy, to Luke the 22nd chapter, and verse 31. There Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat." That reminds us, doesn't it, of another instance found earlier in the Scriptures in the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 8 beginning. There, the Bible says, "The Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, blameless, an upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil.' Then Satan answered the Lord, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him.' So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord." It's a scary thought to me to think of Satan coming before the Lord and saying, "I want to talk to you about Ken Leach. I know he says he believes in you, but you've protected him. You've put a hedge around him so that he, it's easy for him to believe in you. And then the Lord looking at Satan and saying, you touch him, or you touch those things that he has, and I believe Ken Leach will stand strong for me. And that's a scary thought to me, because there's been times when I haven't stood strong. There have been times when I've made the wrong choices. And it's a scary thing to me to think of someone so powerful as Satan trying to cost me my soul. I want you now to consider, if you would, Luke the 22nd chapter, verse 32. There, in response to Satan demanding permission to sift Peter like wheat, we read, "But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Jesus prayed for Peter. Isn't it something to understand that we have such a loving, such a wonderful Savior, so concerned about us individually, that when Satan comes before us and tries to separate us from God, that Jesus will pray for us. That text presents an awesome thought to me. It's regarding the relationship of Jesus to his disciples, not just to Peter, not just to those people in the first century, but to you and me. We are Christians. We are related to Jesus Christ through our name, through the blood that he shed on the cross. Indeed, what a thought. Jesus is truly concerned over what you and I face in life. The context of this passage shows that Jesus had just praised his disciples for their steadfastness, and they had stuck with him, hadn't they, through many of his trials. But Jesus seems concerned about Peter. He knows what that ex-fisherman is about to endure. How does he know that? Well, Jesus was tempted in all points as man when Jesus lived upon the face of the earth. Remember how Satan tempted him? And every time Jesus said, "It is written," when he answered Peter and when he refused to fall to temptation. But going through that made Jesus have an empathy about mankind that is unique. There is no other one in all deity that has come and walked on the earth as we walk, that has come and has been tempted as we are tempted. That's why we have such confidence in Jesus Christ at judgment. The compassion of Jesus Christ. You know, he said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." That's found in John the 14th chapter and verse 15. So I know, without a doubt, that if I will keep the commandments of the Lord, it will show a love to Jesus Christ that will pay eternal dividends in eternity. Jesus first warns Peter of impending danger, doesn't he? In verse 31, when he said, "Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat." Satan wants to assail the disciples. Satan wants to overthrow the faith. And that desire has not changed over the years. You can see Jesus' deep concern in the address. He said, "Simon, Simon." You know, to the Hebrews, when they repented, that was sort of like putting an exclamation point or putting emboldened on something that you write, or underlining or italicizing. They repeated. And Jesus says, "Simon, Simon." It's sort of like when he said, "Martha, Martha. Oh, you worry about so many things." Or when he stood on that hill outside of Jerusalem shortly before his crucifixion, and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wanted to protect you like a hen protects her chicks, but you would not." It's like King David's heartbreaking statement, "Oh, Absalom, my son Absalom." Peter, by definition, was rock-like. Simon is used here in this verse. It was the common name of the first century Peter. Simon was to face grave circumstances, and Jesus prayed for a friend. You and I can learn something from our text about temptation, can't we? Temptation comes from the adversary, but must get permission from God to tempt us. Thus it was as Satan attacked Job in the passage we read in Job 1, verse 8 through 12. It was only by God's permission that Satan tests the apostles. Judas was already on Satan's victory shelf. We learned that from Luke the 12th chapter, verse 3 through 6. If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 12, and let's read verses 3 through 6. Luke 12, verse 3 beginning. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner room shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I warn you to whom you should fear. Fear the one who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Wow. Fearing Satan. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents, and yet not one of them is forgotten before God? Judas was tempted. Judas fell. And now the other 11 apostles are the goal of Satan, the adversary. Notice, if you would, something I find to be interesting. In chapter 12 and verse 31, the phrase "sift you" is in the plural. That indicates that all the apostles were to be tempted. But in chapter 12 and verse 32, "I have prayed for you," that's in the singular. Christ was particularly concerned about Peter, even though he recognized that Satan was after all of the apostles. Jesus knew, didn't he, that Peter was about to hit the bottom. Jesus knew about the denial even before the denial was made. 3 times Peter denied Jesus. Jesus is trying to encourage him. He says, "I've prayed for you, Peter." Imagine the fervency of that prayer that Jesus said. I once read these words, "The thicker the darkness, the brighter his life. The drearier our lives, the richer his presence. The more solitary we are, the larger gifts of his companionship. Our need is the measure of his prayer." Christ intercedes for us in times of our greatest need. This was the time of Peter's greatest need. Note again the text. Jesus didn't pray that Peter not be tempted. He didn't even pray that Peter escape unscathed. He prays that Peter's faith may not fail. Let me say that again. Jesus does not pray that we be not tempted. Jesus does not pray that we come through this temptation unscathed. Jesus, as he prays for us, like he prayed for Peter, prays that our faith may not fail. No matter how low one falls, there's always a way home. Eclipse is not extinction. Monetary and momentary failure to one's deepest convictions is not the annihilation of those convictions. We become so disappointed, don't we, in ourselves when we fail to live up that to that which we say we believe. But that's not total defeat. The hope for results of that testing in Peter is stated in James, the first chapter, verse 2 beginning. There the Bible says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Peter fell. But Peter didn't stay down. He got up and Jesus used him mightily. His life, after the cross, is a testimony of how restoration and forgiveness leads to an effective service in the cause of Christ. Look again, if you would, at the text. When you have returned to me, Jesus said. That's conversion. That's conversion in its very base and defined sense. Conversion is turning, and turning is confession. There's always hope when a good man falls to sin. There's not much hope for the fallen who were never really committed in the first place. Let's look at the lessons taught to us in this episode in the life of Jesus Christ. No matter how much Jesus loves us, we are not exempt from the tempter. That's a lesson that we can learn from this episode. Clearly, Peter understood that. He warns us in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, "Be of a sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." I find it more interesting reading things written by people who have personally experienced in their life the circumstances that allows them to write what they write. Boy, if anybody ever experienced the circumstances to bring forth 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, it was Simon, Simon, who was sifted by Satan like wheat. When the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, he said for them to ask, "Deliver us from the evil one." Matthew 6 and verse 13. Peter was delivered from the evil one because Peter had his eyes on Jesus Christ. I remember, don't you? When Peter was out in that boat on the Sea of Galilee and there was that great storm and he looked out and in the distance he saw someone coming toward the boat walking on water, and they were very afraid, he and the ones in that boat. And as Christ approached, Peter looked down and saw Jesus. And Peter had the courage to get out of that boat and walk toward him. And then Peter started to sink. And the Bible says he did that because he took his eyes off Jesus. He saw the wind. He saw the elements. He had the fear. He lost his focus. And he sank. And that's what happens to you and I when we lose our focus. We fail to be delivered from the evil one when we lose our focus. And Satan finds us. And Satan can be successful in our life if we don't stand strong, if we don't rely on Jesus Christ to help us through these times. Well, there's a second lesson in that passage, and that is the deepest fall can be recovered from. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and verse 13, the Bible says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. And with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." That is a rich passage of Scripture. Isn't it characteristic of mankind to think that when circumstances face them, that they're unique? They've never in the history of the world has anybody ever suffered such terrible circumstances. But the Bible says we're not going to face anything that people hadn't faced before. The Bible says that God's not going to allow Satan to tempt us beyond what we're able to endure. So then it comes down to us, doesn't it? We can't throw up our hands and say, "Well, I just can't do it," because we just can do it. We can't give up because of a lack of ability to overcome temptation, because we have ability. There is a way of escape that we'll be able to bear that temptation. No matter how deep the fall, recovery is possible through Jesus Christ. Well, we also learned in this little lesson that when we turn back to God, we have a responsibility to others. The text says to Peter, strengthen your brothers. Paul touches on the same thought in Galatians 6, chapter and verse 1. There we read, brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. When we turn back to God after falling, we have a responsibility to others who have fallen but not yet returned. I want to read to you now verse 33 from chapter 22 in Luke. And he, that's Peter, and he said to him, Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death. Wow. What a confidence. Do you see an overconfidence there? Remember, that's prior to the sifting like wheat. That's prior to the devastating confrontation with Satan. That's prior to the asking of him in the garden if he's a disciple of Jesus Christ. All of those things are yet in the future. All of those things are yet theory. Jesus tells him that he's praying for him, and Peter says, I'm ready to go both to prison and to death with you. That brings to my mind something. It's a lot easier to say what we'll do than to do what we plan to do. Do you see in that statement any sinful pride? I see in that some things that I can relate to in my life. You see now how vulnerable we are. But I would say to you, as our lesson draws to a close today, be comforted. Jesus cares about you. There is a road back, regardless of how far you've gone on the road away. But beware, there's an adversary. He's a strong adversary that seeks your soul, that seeks your companionship in that place called hell. Don't allow Satan to win in your life. Hang on to Jesus Christ. Satan is about to sift us like wheat. Well, I appreciate you listening to the lesson today. I hope that you'll consider these thoughts, that you'll open your Bible and compare the things that have been taught today with those things that are taught in the Bible. And if you find that there's error been taught in this Go and Teach radio program, I would appreciate it so much if you'd let me know what I've taught that's not found in God's Word. I'll make the correction, and I'll consider you to be a great friend, because it is my intention, and it is the intention of those with whom I worship here at the Monte Vista Church of Christ, to do those things that God wants us to do, to have authority for those things that we believe, and to walk uprightly, hand in hand with Jesus Christ, until comes that great day when we cross those chilly waters of death and hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of your Lord. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that your week is filled with opportunities to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.